Blog Talk Radio.
The heart of love. The heart of love.
Yeah.
The heart of love. Radio show.
Good evening.
The heart of love.
This is G. Wright.
The heart of
and
love.
And you are listening to
The Heart of
the
Love.
The Heart of Love.
Radio show. Show. The Heart of Love.
Ooh.
The Heart of Love.
Yeah.
The Heart of Love. Radio show. The Heart of Love.
To the Heart of Love radio show here on Blog Talk Radio. Tuesdays from 9 to 10, Thursdays from 6 to 7. Stay with me.
Hey, all right. The Heart of Love.
The Heart of Love.
Love.
Hello, this is G. Wright, and you're listening to the Heart Love Radio Show, coming to you live from the D.C. Baltimore area. You know, yesterday was my birthday, and I had such a great birthday. It was so awesome, you guys. God really, really showed up. He showed out. I was really, 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 really glad. You know, God did that. You know, God really, really did that, and I'm so grateful for everything that God is doing in my life. And I believe that he's doing in your life as well. Now, today, I have someone, none other than his name is Gregory Brown, Minister Gregory Brown. And I'm going to go to him right now. How you doing, Gregory?
I'm well, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. You're live on the Heart of Love radio show. And for those of you who are tuning in, Gregory was here with me last week, and we got into an in-depth conversation. It was beginning to go there near the end of the show, but I definitely invited him to come back this week because he's definitely doing some great things in gospel music and in ministry generally. Gregory Brown, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm originally from Birmingham, Alabama, and I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of legendary people in the gospel music industry. And a lot of times working with them, I've learned to grow from their wisdom and their knowledge. I'm also a minister of music at two churches, so my life is very, very full. And it's been quite an interesting work for the Lord. Been quite interesting. It causes you to grow, you know, as well as sometimes we try to impart to others, but there are things that we get along the way that help us to enlarge our territory as well while working with people.
You know, I got to tell you this. You know, you and I have been friends, Facebook friends, for years. It's been, we're back, I think it was before Facebook, it was MySpace. Remember when MySpace was the big to do? And now so that was really, really cool. I'm glad that we've been able to keep in touch. You know, you have such an amazing music ministry and music CD that you put out, and I gotta tell you, I just want to know. Can you just tell the audience the name of your CD and what inspired, what really happened to the whole birthing process of that particular CD?
Well, actually, that particular project I really hadn't intended on doing. I was at a point in my life where I didn't want to do gospel music anymore. And I happened to go to church, my home church, that particular night. I don't get to go there a whole lot. And when I got there, the choir was up singing a song, and they were singing a song actually that I wrote. And our church choir, they're an amazing church choir. They've recorded with Joe Pace and quite a few other artists and done a lot of great things. And when I got there, they were singing my material. I was like in shock. And the young lady that was singing the song that I wrote, and I'm not saying it because it was my song, but it ministered so heavily. And God spoke to me. Then he said, this is why you have to keep doing what you're doing. Don't do it because you feel like it. Do it because I gave it to you. Do it because you're pouring out to other people. What you do really makes a difference. And from there, the Project 2911 was birthed. And it's based on Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, you know, to give you hope and a future and to prosper you. And that was at a time when I just didn't feel like I had hope or future, and I didn't want to do it anymore, but God really spoke, and that's how that album was actually birthed.
Wow. I'd say this, you know, I remember when you said that to me, I was so blessed, and I'm glad that you did that, you know, and I just started playing on the air. You know, I was gone for about a year, and you know, but I was really just really really blessed by your project, and you know, I don't even know how it feels to go into a place of worship and they're singing your song. You know, with that in mind, is it hard to stay humble? How do you stay grounded? Because you're such a grounded person. How do you stay grounded after seeing God move in your life like that?
Well, I think one of the things has been I came up around a lot of disciplined people. I came up in a very, very traditional, what you call Baptist church, and sometimes, and the difference in the church today is they didn't care how gifted or talented you were. They never let that part override the discipline and the structure that you really needed. And sometimes, you know, today I had to be on a panel. A friend of mine wrote a book, and I can't think of the name of the book right now, but it was talking about musicians and ministers of music and the church and the pastor. And one of the questions I asked, there were maybe like, I think, 8 or 9 pastors. And I asked them, I said, why is it that you can see your leader in trouble and you won't say anything to them? And it's not about tearing them down, but you allow certain things that you know that are not right to go on. All those well-known pastors, they sat there and they didn't answer my question. They dropped their heads, and the audience that was there were like, woo, like they were like, did you really just ask that question? Yes, I did. And the reason I told them I asked this question, I said, because when you look at a gift, you're not just looking at a gift, you're also looking at a soul. And I told them, I said, there's maybe one heartbeat and one breath between that person and eternity. And they could go off into eternity either toward, you know, into heaven or into eternal damnation. And I just want to know, why is it that you all allowed that to go on? And most of all, it was basically stated they want to maintain their church.
What?
Yeah, so I mean, I came up in this time in this era, and I'm not dogging anybody. I'm just really being honest. I'd rather for somebody to tell me the truth and saved by soul. Because, see, gifts and talents, all that stuff is great, but we have to leave here. And one of the things that you want to do while you're here, you want to leave a footprint in the sand for somebody to follow that will be the right thing,
right,
the right way. And I think we don't want that obligation anymore. And we'd rather have our name up in lights. We'd rather have people calling our names. We'd rather be popular versus our names written in the Lamb Book of Life.
Right.
Because, you know, the Lord has never told us to run after wealth or to run after being popular. He called us to do a work. And most of us don't want to do the work. And in turn, I've seen a lot of artists, because I remember back in the day, John P. Key, he was doing some great works for the homeless and different people, and how his ministry really drew people, if you remember that. And God began to increase him. And I think when we do the work of the Lord, God, the blessings of the Lord will overtake us and put us in places we could never work to get in or could even dream, you know, where we would be. If we obey him and do his will, if we do his will of God will take care of us. I believe that.
Yeah, I agree with you. One thing I definitely want to do is play this one of your songs. And this song is Dance Like David. David. How did this particular song come about?
Well, one of the things I had to learn to do was celebrate while the enemy was looking. You know, they said, don't wait till the battle is over, shout now, you know. And that song was birthed out of, you know, the devil is there, he's watching. And, even when the Lord, when he went before the Lord and the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? Yeah, he had already been there, because he said, does Job not serve you for nothing? He had already been there. So there's someone who's watching us, and he doesn't really want us to walk in victory. But I'm going to dance like David, because God, the joy that God has placed inside me, I don't have to wait to come out of something. I don't have to wait, because the victory is already there. He's already our shield and our buckler. And we have to just learn to praise and praise. I've learned for it not to be based on emotion, because, you know, there can be enough stuff to come at you to kind of depress you. But when you worship him in spirit and in truth, really knowing, and the truth is who he really is, how he really loves us, and that he's already taken care of that, then we can dance. We've learned how to be content whatever state we're in, but I'm just telling you, it's a praise that God puts on the inside of you. And that's where that song came from.
Amen. You know, and you just got to keep on pressing. You just got to keep on pressing and do that thing. Press through, dance like David. And so with that in mind, you guys, you listen to Gregory Brown, Dance Like David. I know you guys can be blessed by this.
Trust me. Yo, this your boy Mr. Bugs from the Mr. Bugs Radio Show, and you listening to the Heart of Love Radio Show, the G Right on blogtalkradio.com.
What's going on, guys? I appreciate you guys. You're listening to the sounds of none other than my guest artist, friend Gregory Brown is in the house. I like that song. I love that part. Oh, yo, I love that part, how you did that.
Wow. Well, God bless, man.
God bless you. You know, one thing I like about you, Gregory, is that you are definitely, you're a serious person, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're serious and you're passionate about what you do. Let me ask you a question. If you could give any advice to upcoming gospel artists who are striving to make it in the industry or in ministry, that's not even say in the industry, in ministry.
Okay.
What would you tell them?
Well, as far as the ministry, find a good church and a good pastor that will anchor you.
Right.
And as far as the industry, I would say, don't be afraid, and I'm going to talk about secular for a second. I think about Michael Jackson. You know, when people thought he invented the moonwalk and how big it became, he didn't invent the moonwalk. The moonwalk had been done many, many years before by a black dancer many, many years ago, back in, like, I think the 30s or the 40s. And he just went back, and that's what you should not be afraid to do. Go back and study your history of music, learn who's done what before you, and respect it. You don't have to be them. You can be yourself, but learn from your history and your past. Be respectful of your craft. Be diligent in your craft. Do not be afraid to be yourself. Don't try to be a clone. One of the things I think we're finding, there's a lot of great talent out there today. I mean, phenomenal talent. But back in the day, there was, I would say, everybody was really, they had a unique sound. When you heard the Hawkins, you knew it was the Hawkins. When you heard the Whitfield Company or whoever, whatever artist, you knew who they were. There was no confusion of, is this such and such or such and such or such and such? Because everybody kind of, it's like a grain of sand on the beach. Everybody kind of gravitating toward one sound and one feel. But everybody was celebrated and everybody had an audience, and you have to keep that in mind. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't be afraid to explore. But most of all, don't let your artistry drown your ministry out. That's what
right.
I would say.
You know, and I think that's so important what you said. That is so, so, so important to not do that. It's so important.
Oh, yeah,
because
sure.
if you forget about, if you get into, oh, I got to do this run right here. And, you know, and that run might be taken away from, someone might be getting ready to give a breakthrough from just ministering.
Yeah.
And and then that run is more so for what you can do, especially if you're like, well, I've got to do this because this is not just what I'm feeling. This is just something that I want to do. I've been practicing this run. And if we lose ourselves in artistry, we do lose direction of the ministry, that power,
yes,
that authenticity. So that's so true. That's so true.
And may I add one other thing, Brother Gregory? One other thing I would like to add, because we don't tend to do this. If you are a writer, please get your music copyrighted.
Right.
And learn about mechanical license agreements. It's not difficult. It's really not expensive. And it can be done, and that helped me tremendously. And when you do copyrights, most of the time copyrights will probably outlive you, and you can do it one time. You know what I mean? And it will last throughout your lifetime. And if somebody takes your music or does it, and it's protection for you, get a publishing company. That's not expensive to do. You can do all these things online. You know, we have the internet and all these things now, where it's at your fingertips. It's very easy to do. And I would definitely recommend that you do that. I had a thing, I don't know if I ever told you, where even though you're doing gospel, it's still a business, and they're going to treat it as such. You may be wrapped up in the ministry, but if and record companies are becoming obsolete, but in case you have to deal with one, you need to have these things in place. You need to get your royalties. Because I think I told you when I first dealt with the record company and I saw how much they made off my song, and it wasn't even a hit on the album as far as the title cut. It wasn't like that, but it was on the album. But that album went around the world. And when that royalty check came to me, I fell back backwards on the bed. I was like, wow, I can make this. Yeah, you get your copyrights, get your mechanical license agreements. They're not hard to write up. It's very easy. In November, a friend of mine will be doing a workshop here, and I'll be talking on mechanical license agreements and copyrights and things of that nature. But I definitely recommend that. Do the business of it, do the spiritual part of it, and do the artistry part of it.
And I think that's the part that practical, because, it's so easy. Like, I'm stepping out there as far as writing for other artists, and I've only pretty much written for myself, but I know that I'm not saying anything that's not copyrighted.
Right, exactly.
I know that much. And, that's coming also. Go ahead.
Oh, one of the things I was going to say, see, it's kind of like a pendulum that swings both ways. When it comes to, like, mechanical license agreement, about a year or so ago, I was working on a project. Somebody called me in, and I told them, I said, not just but you need mechanical license agreements for everybody who's writing for this project. Because, see, this goes on a lot, and it's not talked about. People will bring a song to you, and they'll say it's my song. And it's not. Just say, for instance, I bought a song to you and say, well, you like it, you want to record it, and I tell you it's my song. Okay, you took my word. But the artists wind up hearing that song, and they come after you. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And what you're going to probably say, well, Greg gave me this song, yada, yada, yada. What you do is get me to write out a mechanical license agreement stating that this is my song, and I'm giving you license to use it. So if somebody comes to you, they can look at that mechanical license agreement, and they say, okay, you were actually told this, and this was written and signed by me, so they come back after me. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of a protection thing. And so this particular project, when they got ready to do it, and this person had told them that this was their music, and they found out they had to do this mechanical license agreement, and they had to state that this is their song, and they're allowing you to use it. Then they retracted it. But it was a lie in the first place. You see how that protected them? Because people will come after the church. Some years ago, the Winans did a song called Feel Like the Sun Going Down on Me by Glenn Campbell.
Yeah.
And Glenn Campbell came after the Winans, and he sued them. He didn't care that they were a Christian group. It's a business. That's the part I was saying earlier. They're going to look at it as it is a business. This is mine. You owe me, and I want what's mine. So that's the part I would love to impart to people. Do your due diligence if you're going to do this business.
I'm going to tell you this. I was working with someone who was like, I want to work with you. I want to write with you. And I thought, you know what? Let me go ahead and let me really, really do this music. I had the music for a year. Had never, ever said anything to me that he was going to charge. And you know how much he wanted to charge me? He wanted to charge me. It was four songs, right? And this is before I started producing songs. This is before I had my own studio. So I wasn't producing any of my music. I was going to another person, a friend's studio, and producing my music in his studio. And he wanted to charge me like 10 cents per person. Like, for the first 500, I wouldn't charge. First 500 copies of the CD. Then after that, he wanted, I think, something like 10 cent for each of the songs, each song. So if we have four songs, that's 40 cent off of each CD. I told him, I said, now, if I were to get picked up by a major CD, a major company, you would make more money than I would make. 40 cents off of a CD. And I just had to say, you know, I wrote the lyrics to the song, so I had to basically, for me, get that music out of my head, recreate my own music based off of my lyrics, and I had to change things around, and it's not the same song at all, but it's like, can you imagine what would have happened had I used it, and I thought that he was giving me the song. He had me writing, thinking that he was giving it to me. Then when it came time to...
These were your lyrics, but he had done the music?
His brother, this particular person, his brother works for like one of the major groups, one of the major labels. You know, he said my brother gave me this music. He's not going to use it, and he told me I can go ahead and do what I wanted to do with it, so I'm giving it to you. So I'm thinking, okay, you're giving it to me.
Well,
great.
You know what? You did the right thing, because that would have been that guy's work still. You're right. You did the right thing by not using his music. Because what could have ultimately happened was it would have been a collaborated work. Well, really, it would actually have been stolen, because if it's his brother's work, he had no right to give it to you.
Yeah,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, because he said my brother gave it to me. But I was like, how am I supposed to know that your brother gave this to you?
Exactly. There you go.
Let me tell you this. I was like, this music is great. It was hot. It really was hot. But I learned my lesson. Cause I said, I don't want to ever be in that spot where someone's coming after me for something like that.
Yeah.
No, I never want to be in that spot where someone is actually coming after me because of something like that.
Yeah. And that's the reason I say you get understanding, and especially if you're doing something like that, that's a great point that you brought up, because I think that needs to be shared too. When you collaborate or there are two parties involved, music came from over there and lyrics came from over here, you need to do it. If you're going to do it that way, you would share royalty. So
yeah,
that would be a collaboration. That's
yeah,
if you're going to do that. But you did the right thing,
yeah,
and that's a great bit of advice, never to do that. Somebody brings you something, says somebody
right.
gave it to them, and you don't know if they have ownership of it. But then that's where the mechanical license agreement would come in.
Yeah, because I start, pretty much, Gregory, pretty much, we have a gist that I try to do things right. I do my best.
Yeah.
I try to do my best. And when it came down to really just saying, I need to get your brother's information. You need to give me your brother's information. Then the guy was like hesitating.
Yeah,
I need your brother's information so that I can sign with ASCAP. I need to make sure and double check that I can use his music.
Correct.
You know, this next song, one of the songs that's on your project, it's titled "There's Been a Change in Me." You know, what brought about that track? What inspired you to write that song?
I think it was interesting. I saw a follow-up, or this guy out of Detroit did a write-up on that song. He said, there seemed to be flavors of something Ricky Dilla would do, and I shared with him. I said, no, this is, you have to understand, before there was Ricky Dilla, there was a young man at the University of Alabama in Birmingham, and his name is Dwayne Davis. He was one of my mentors, and he did a song that kind of reminds you of I Come That You Might Have More Abundantly by Ricky Dillard. But that was way before Ricky Dillard existed. So that was my experience before there was a Ricky Dillard. So, and that's why I say everybody needs to learn your history, learn who's doing stuff. Don't get me wrong, I love Ricky Dillard, but he was not my influence. But that's, that's what the guy was saying. I said, no, it wasn't influenced by that. It was way before, and I took him to the recording. I said, this is the idea. This is where this came from, my mentor and my friend. And he really birthed a lot of things in me about music, and that's where that came from. But there's been a change in me. We want to come to church, and we want to do all these things, but we don't want the change. And one of the things about, if you meet Jesus Christ, if he comes into your life, there has to be a change.
Wow.
If we're really experiencing him, And it's like we want to come to church and we want to feel emotional, but we don't want to change.
But one thing about this, I know they're going to be blessed by this, and I just want to say thank you for putting this out. I can't wait for them to listen to this. You guys, we're about to listen to There's Been a Change in Me by Gregory Brown. This is G. Wright. You're listening on Radio Show. You guys listen to the Hard Love Radio Show with your host, G. Wright. That was another cut from Gregory Brown with God Said He'd Deliver Us. And the number here is 657-383-1935. You know, God said He'd deliver us. And regardless of what we're going through, He will deliver us. We just have to keep that faith. Just have to keep that faith.
Yes, sir.
You know, one of the things I wanted to play, Gregory, is I have a friend of mine I grew up with in D.C., and he just came out with his new cut. His name is Damien Roy, and it's entitled My Praise. Mm-hmm. So I just want to play this so we can all can listen and see what new things God is doing in the music world, in the D.C. area. Are you up for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's Damien Roy, My Praise, and I got my boy Gregory Brown here on the Hard Love Radio Show.
Giving me life.
You guys are listening to the Hard Love Radio Show, and I have none other than a good friend, Gregory Brown, artist Gregory Brown, on the show. And we just have finished listening to the sounds of Damian Roy, and he's coming out with My Praise. He's from the area. He really loves the Lord. His wife really loved the Lord, and it's good to see how God is moving in people's lives. One of the things you touched on, Gregory, which I really feel is important, is that we keep ministry, and we focus on the ministry. And if we can remember that, it's about saving souls and more than about getting the accolades. You know, some of those byproducts are blessings, you know, but the main thing is really, really touch lives. And, you know, one of the things that kept one of my cousins and I sober, you know, her name is Eureka Wright. She's an artist, a gospel artist in the D.C. area, is that all of us aren't called to reach everyone around the world globally. You know, sometimes, sometimes it's to reach people in your local church. Sometimes it's to reach people in your city. Sometimes it's to reach people in your specific areas of the United States. Sometimes it's just nationally. Sometimes it might be in some places. But whatever it is, be present there. You know, understand that. Understand your calling. Understand what you're called to do. You know?
Wow, that's so heavy. And one of the things, you know, we always hear that charity begins at home. And one of the things that God was dealing with me about, what you're talking about, this is such a blessing. I don't have to go across the world. There's ministry staring me right in the face. There's family members. I don't even have to get to the church. There are people that are in my family that, you know, we could impact by loving them, you know. Those things have been powerful in seeing people transform in our family. Even in the local church, I don't really have to do a lot of stuff outside. There's a great need within the walls of the church. And you are absolutely right, man. That's a blessing. That's a blessing.
Listen. I had to say that I am so glad and so honored to even have you on the show. You're so serious, and you're, like I said, passionate about ministry, and it's so great to see that. And you're honest. You know, you're brutally honest, but you're honest.
I get that a lot. But you know what? I found out, and I'm not trying to be brutal. I think because some of my past and upbringing and stuff, I'm just to the point. I'm not really trying to be brutal. I'm just really to the point. And a lot of times people like to play different games and do different stuff, and I'm like, just tell the truth, and the truth will stand on its own. You know what I'm saying? I'm not being mean. I'm just direct. And I found out that's a family trait, so to speak, though. So. And people come back to me, you know what they tell me? They say, I'm so glad that you told me that. And it actually came back to me. It might not have been what I wanted to hear, but it was what I needed.
Right.
And I think a lot of us, I think we want, sometimes our egos stroke, or we should temper what we say. We really should. And that was something that God really has worked on me with. Yeah, you can be honest and you can be frank, but you need to do it in love.
Yeah, as long as it's done in love, that's what matters. Was it done in love?
Right.
That's the main thing.
A blessing to the talent, Brother G. I mean, just all the skills and things that you have and things that are at your disposal, like the young man that you just played, Damian Roy. I love that song. That was amazing. I mean, I got right into that. There's so many gifts and talents that, and I think about this. What about, the fact is everybody may not get the platform that other artists have. So what do you think? Do you think they should still do the gift. I think they should definitely do the gift. I think they should definitely do it. You may never get that platform, but you have something to say, and there's somebody you can reach.
I know. And that's the biggest thing. I'm reaching someone, making a difference. And that's where I'm really passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
Making the difference, making the change. That means so much. And just having people who like you are, who are authentic about ministry and real, and just helping to remind us all what we need to be focusing on.
And you know what, since you said that, one of the things I found out in church, because the churches I play for have different demographics. They have young, they have old, they have middle-aged, they have people from all walks of life. And I don't try to do music that fits one genre or that basically appeals to one crowd. What I try to do is let the Lord minister whatever it is he's going to minister. It doesn't matter if we're doing a contemporary, traditional, whatever. If he's not in it, it's empty. It's when you get up and you do what he tells you to do. That's what ministers to the people, instead of us trying to give people what we want them to have or what we think is popular or trendy. What if God says to you, like one Sunday for praise and worship, we didn't sing anything that particular Sunday at church. God had me to minister to the people on repentance and being right with each other. And that was our worship that Sunday. We didn't sing anything, and that was the most powerful service. So the power lies in being obedient to God, like Moses with the rod. He walked up to God with that stick, and I often think about it as what some people call a security blanket. He had his qualms about doing what God had called him to do. He said, I'm a slow of speech or whatever. But whatever God has gifted you when he's called you to do, just do it. And get to the point. Don't lean on the gift, but trust in the gift giver. Because after a while, Moses was supposed to supply the people with water, and he struck the rock, and God told him to speak to it. So God will graduate us from one thing, from using the rod, to speaking. And we have to be able to let go of one thing to get to the next level that God wants to take us to.
Oh, man, I preached on that last night. God showed me that thing. You got to be willing to do that.
Yes, yes. And what happens is when we don't, we start to think that that thing is the source. And what God will eventually do is dry that brook up. You know how somebody takes something from you?
Yeah.
And when that thing is gone, you start crying like a baby because it's like that thing ain't working anymore. And what God is always trying to do is get us to follow him versus instead of following a pattern. Just like when they with the manna, don't try to carry it over until tomorrow. I'm going to give you something new the next day. Even in the way that he healed people, he never really healed people the same way all the time. Some people would heal as they went. He made clay for some people, so told some people to rise up and walk. There were just so many different ways, and he's trying to really get us to obey and follow him. That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, and I think that with our music and everything, it's just a time to go ahead and just do it. Go ahead and do what he's called us to do,
Yeah, yeah.
Just go ahead and do it. First of all, I want to say thank you for allowing me to play your music. I do want people to go out there and purchase it. For those who are listening, where can they purchase your project?
Oh, you can go to iTunes. You can go to, what's the other one? You can go to Amazon.com, and I can't think of it right now. I can see it in my head. But all the three major music sellers, you can go to it and find it online. Amazon, iTunes. I can't think of the other one right off. Just get a little
One thing I know about you, you're someone who's going to be around. So I'll definitely, when I come back on Thursday from 6 to 7, make sure that everyone knows where to get it from.
Well, G. Reich, I appreciate you so much, man. You are truly a blessing to the body of Christ. You really are.
Thank you. Thanks so
much. You have so many talents. I mean, the ministering and preaching and song and writing and even the show. I mean, I don't even think you realize all the gifts and the graces that God has given you. But I just thank God that you do use them for the body. I really do.
Thank you so much. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play this artist. I know you've been busy, and I want you to hear it. This is Jackie Clark Chisholm with My Season, because this is our season. And the only thing we have to do is just remember that.
Wow.
So God bless you, and thank you so much for blessing me. And I pray God will continue to bless you as you continue to serve him and bless others. God bless you so much.
God bless you, G-Rock.
And you guys listen to the Hard Love Radio Show. I'll be back again this coming Thursday from 6 to 7. This is Jack Clark Chisholm. Bye.
Everything your heart desires.